You're listening to Philip Mountrose on the EFT Zone Spotlight.
Muscle testing is a great add-on tool. It's not essential. It's another option. You can do EFT wonderfully without it. It just gives you more information and more options. So it expands your toolbox. It's very elegant. It's very quick. It's very direct. It's non-invasive. And, yes, you do need to kind of know some tips in our books like The Heart and Soul of EFT and Beyond. There's a lot of tips and DVDs. We show you how to do it. So it is a learning curve. You want to learn how to do it more accurately to get reliable results. And it basically works on a yes-no binary level. And it's better almost to make a statement than a question. So your statement is, say, focus on your mother. And if you muscle test your muscle, do you go weak or do you say strong? Now, if you say strong, at least at that time, you have overall in your unconscious a positive attitude harmony with your mother. That doesn't mean there's not any issues or anything, but you're basically at that point stable. If you go weak when you say focus on your mother, then your muscle goes weak. That means there's some issue there. And generally, if we ask the person, like, when you think of your mother, what comes to mind, they will immediately, popping up from their unconscious, know the trouble. Like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to have to see her and, you know, I get in arguments with her, or, you know, she's always nagging me, or she's too afraid, or I don't know what to say to her. You know, whatever it is, it will come up. And then, of course, you do the EFT and the getting through technique. So we have checklists, not only in our Heart and Soul of EFT, our books, and our Getting Through to Your Soul book, which it gives you a lot of information on how to sort of assess. You're not supposed to say diagnose, analyze what's going on. So you can focus on your house, you can focus on your body, focus on your mind, and any of this will go strong or weak, and it can tell you what's going on. As far as tips for doing it, a couple basic tips are, first of all, just if you're testing someone else, muscle testing someone else, and there are many, many ways to muscle test. I mean, there's probably 30 or 40 ways I've encountered to muscle test. It's really, a lot of people know it when you're just holding out your arm and the other person is pressing on it at the wrist level, but there are many ways to do it. But make sure if you're testing a person's arm that the arm doesn't hurt. And that sounds kind of obvious, but a lot of people have sore arms and so forth, and you don't want to be straining an arm. Another really good tip is where the receiver is looking. They should look either down, which grounds a person, it gets them into their body, or close their eyes. And you want to focus on the statement that you're saying. So if you're saying, focus on your job, or think of your job, and that's what you're muscle testing, you want to make sure that that's what they're concentrating on, because if their mind is wandering or they're distracted, then you're not going to get accurate, reliable results. Another tip is to pace the person, to press on their muscles when they're ready. So if you ask a question, you say, focus on your job, focus on your office, focus on, and you're doing it too quickly, the person can't respond and they get confused. They'll probably test weak to everything. So you want to do it in a deliberative way. Make sure the person's ready. You can muscle test yourself as well. There are many ways where you can kind of hold your fingers in a loop and see if they hold strong. And there are many ways to self-muscle test, which the only challenge is that if you have fears or doubts whether you're going to get the right answers, you're going to bias your muscle test. So you have to be neutral whether you muscle test someone else or yourself. And it's sometimes harder to be neutral on muscle testing yourself. But those are a couple basic ones. Just be very intentional. Keep your eyes closed around the floor. Check the muscles. Be neutral. Neutral voice. Don't press too hard when you're touching their muscles. Psychological reversal is saying, I want to lose weight, but the next thing you do is you're eating a big bag of potato chips. So that's a reversal. There's something, you're not congruent, you're not matching some of your thoughts, and other unconscious thoughts are conflicting you, so you're sabotaging yourself. That would be like some sort of reversal. It could be a little mini one. It could be pretty big, like that one might be a big one. But a massive one is usually really huge, like a depression. Like if you're muscle testing again, if you say, I want to be happy, and you muscle test weak for being happy, and if you say, I want to be miserable, and you test strong for being miserable, you're have a basic kind of overall view of life, you might have a lot of depressing symptoms. So it's pretty pervasive. And the average person may or may not really be able to help that person. It may take a journey. It may take a person who has more expertise to help a person who has a massive reversal, who just really feels suicidal and so forth about life and very depressed. Neurological disorganization, which could also cause massive psychological reversal, relates to the neurology, the big term neurological disorganization, ND, or switching. An easier way to say it is switching, being switched. It's some difficulty with your nervous system not aligning properly. Your energy's working wrong. It's kind of like putting the wrong shoe on each foot and walking around. Imagine we were walking around with the wrong shoe on each foot. That would be kind of awkward. That's sort of like being neurologically disorganized. And the left and right brain is not communicating strongly. Neurological disorganization is something which everyone has periodically. If you had a shock, if someone said your pet died or some tragedy happened in your life, you would be neurologically disorganized, hopefully just very temporarily. But some people are almost regularly neurologically disorganized. But normal neurological disorganization can be corrected sometimes just by EFT tapping or tapping on the thymus, the area between the heart and the throat, and thinking loving thoughts. And there are some tapping techniques which will help you balance yourself. In other words, if you're grounded, you're spacey. And if you're around someone who's neurologically disorganized, you tend to get confused and distracted yourself. That's an indicator. You could do, as I said, the tapping the thymus. What we like to do is soul centering, and that's really the basis of our work, connecting with our higher self or connecting with our inner guidance. And that really is one of the best ways to become regularly grounded. So anyways, the massive psychological reversal, the neurological disorganization, they're kind of specialty things. Sometimes the energy hygiene techniques, like I described, the tapping techniques, the breathing and so forth, can get you balanced. Sometimes it's going to be more extensive and you really kind of need a regular regimen to get more normalized. We have the PR, the psychological reversal questions, and questions like, and you can ask, or better yet, if you can muscle test, because the muscle testing is testing your unconscious mind if it's done correctly. Take an issue that you want to accept criticism better, and that's the issue you're working on. I'm thinking of someone I've worked with. Okay, so you could muscle test, is it safe to accept criticism? Am I willing to accept criticism? Do I want to accept criticism? Do I want to completely be open to this? So in other words, there may be blockages, sometimes unconscious. So are you willing to do what it takes? For the magic question, let's say you want to get maybe right to it and maybe not even have to do all the PR checking. You just say this. You just say, is there anything stopping you from accepting criticism or being open to that? What's stopping you? The magic question. A lot of times people will just pop up and they'll know what it is, interestingly, when you ask that question. The reversal may not be on the standard list, the psychological reversal checklist that we have in our books and elsewhere. One woman who was a grandmother, she was upset because her grandchildren weren't calling her on Grandmother's Day. And I asked her the magic question, and she said, oh, I know why I'm keeping this problem. If I don't, my grandchildren are really not going to call me. So it's kind of like an antenna, a victimization thing. Forgiveness can be part of, when I mentioned life purpose is to create a wonderfully joyous life, probably part of that journey of leading a joyous, wonderful life is to forgive. Why are you forgiving? Well, think of the energy around where you hold resentments and grudges. I'm not saying that wrongdoings and misdeeds and transgressions were not done to you, but also remember you've done that to other people in this life, or if you kind of can go farther enough to realize in past lives. But realize that you are not a saint either. Given that we have been transgressed and violated, probably all of us to some degree, that's part of the journey, we need to learn to get through that. I mean, why keep that? It's like saying, hey, I had an accident when I was 10 years old. I broke my favorite glass, and I keep thinking about that. Well, let's move on. Let's go on. So forgiving, however bad it is important, and you have to do that to make yourself free, to get rid of that heavy energy. It doesn't mean that you forget. That doesn't mean that the person is, quote, off the hook. The person will have to deal with it themselves. You don't have to talk to the person directly, although you can. You may want to write a letter and go through it in your own mind. You may never reconcile in person with the other person, but you need to do it in your own mind. And you may need to forgive yourself, because no matter what someone did to you, someone abused you, you probably hold yourself responsible on some level, and you're angry at yourself, so you're going to have to forgive yourself in any of this too. And it's about letting go. And once you realize the value of it, you have to say, is it worth holding a grudge against Uncle Harry for what he did to me and keep that, or would I rather be free of it? So, yes, you can understand why the person did what they did. It doesn't mean they were right, they were wrong in what they did, they were hurtful, whatever. But again, we've done problems too, so you kind of need to learn to be compassionate with yourself and other people, and that's part of it. And you can use EFT for forgiveness. You know, even though I'm such and such, I'm mad at such and such, I can still forgive myself. I can forgive all the things that have happened to me. I can forgive all the consequences for this happening. It is an important ingredient in growth, and a lot of problems with EFT are not resolved until you do the forgiveness. That's like something that's left over that needs to be attended to in some cases. As I mentioned, I met my wife about 30 years ago at a Gurdjieff Vyspensky group based on the philosophy, sometimes it's called esoteric Christianity, or the fourth way of becoming enlightened or spiritually growing through observing yourself. A lot of it was based on self-observation and what they called remembering yourself, remembering that you are a body in a greater context with a soul, and you're part of a greater entity, and seeing how it all works. So that's important. One of the cosmic laws that they shared, and I'm surprised people aren't more aware of it because it's so important, it's called the law of octaves, and people may know the musical octaves. There are the eight notes in an octave, and this is something very cosmic. This is something like gravity, and it doesn't matter if you believe it or know about it. You are going to be ruled by gravity to some extent in your life. It's a law. It's just part of our reality. So every adventure, every project, everything you take on has eight steps, eight octaves, eight notes, and there's going to be some intervals. So at a certain point, there are going to be some intervals, some parts where things get slow, where things get slowed down, and we need to shift, we need to bridge them. So to get through it, to complete an octave, you need to sometimes exert extra energy or just take a pause or a rest, because there's a couple intervals. So everything proceeds in an octave, and when you think you're failing, you may just be at an interval, and if you think it's worth completing whatever you're doing, it could be just taking out the trash, it could be finding a new job, it could be completing the biggest project of your life, it could be the journey of your career, whatever the octave is at, whatever scale, there are going to be intervals, there are going to be resting points that you need to bridge or you need to exert extra effort, and it's good to know about that, and it makes a lot more sense about what you're experiencing. Future pacing is a really powerful technique that came from neuro-linguistic programming, meaning you take whatever you're visualizing, whatever positive affirmation or color or image or sound, and just imagine it's in your future. If you clear the issue with EFT, then you will make this positive image or color into the future. So a woman was, I was helping, she was annoyed at her boyfriend who was not environmentally correct, and after she got rid of the annoyance, she wanted to see peacefulness, she wanted to see a green color and having peaceful relationships and accepting her boyfriend more, and that was that energy and affirmation and color. She visualized it into her future or sensed it into her future. And while you're doing that, you can be tapping too, tapping the points and visualizing the color or the saying the affirmation, and sensing your future is becoming that way. And as I said, I use a lot of with people in individual sessions. I find them one of the most powerful things for individual consultations and coaching and supporting people is if they get these tailor-made affirmation and say them or tap them in, their life changes because that's the life they're creating then.